and will be made well good use of. That's it for today. Get medical supplies, your energy, cleaning essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never ever give up your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Conservative teabaggers. And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing
conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were involved.
You were.
He said he was.
You are very racist.
He said he was.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he was.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree.
Christmas Eve in my hometown.
Wise men journeyed far, guided by a star. But though I'm not a wise man, this I know. Through dreams and just pretending, I'm there and I'll be spending Christmas Eve in my hometown.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, December 21st, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It's a Christmas ride right now, and we're going to keep it that way. A few announcements before we get going. The new schedule is in full effect, obviously, went into effect the first Monday of this month. Most significant change, being obviously John Stabmiller's National Intel Report has been officially retired. It was a long time coming, but it is what it is. You can still catch special selections of John Stabmiller on the National Intel Report every Monday through Thursday from 10 p.m. to midnight. So check that out. We'll be taking a Christmas break, as you heard. You probably heard John Moore say that if you were listening before the top of the hour this morning. Next week, we will not be broadcasting live during the week, Monday through Friday, Christmas Day to Friday the 29th. My understanding is we're waiting to see what the weekend hosts are going to do, but we will have special broadcasts on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, so that'll be fun. We're in the midst of the second annual John Stabmiller Book Drive. See the website for details, republicbroadcasting.org. Make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win. Entrants who do not win will be added to subsequent week's drawings. This week, this week's book, week five, is The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea by Tim Cohen. That is a signed copy dedicated to John Stadmiller. Dear John, may this work bless you in Christ, Tim Cohen. Check it out. More on the website. Okay, so we will be live on the 30th through the 1st. We'll be live during the weekend and New Year's Day. Yeah. There's also, you know, if you're looking for late deals, I mean, if you're one of those shoppers who doesn't like shopping early, I'm not going to shop early. Why would I shop before the 24th, right? If you're waiting, you're one of those people, the water filter deal, you can still do that, which is a great gift. Pro One holiday sale on gravity-fed water filters and systems, up to and including whole house systems. Oh, that deal is sold out. Never mind. So is there, yeah, okay.
Hey, I'll let you know. Hang on.
Pretty much sold out.
Here's the thing, that there's very few water filters. I mean, whole house systems, yes, but it's a little rough on, there's no stainless steel systems available. There's no water filters available. There's one water filter available, and it's only good for 4 months, 500 gallons. It's not, I don't know, man. It's rough.
Okay.
People should have taken advantage of this 2 or 3 weeks ago. So if you want to have something, then not a lot left until after New Year's. And, okay. Well, still good products, but yeah, not a lot left. Yeah.
All right. Good to know. All right. So there's that. There are also other deals. You know, you can visit, folks can visit the website and support the network by supporting the advertisers and sponsors. Then there are other things that I've mentioned. I mentioned the Gun Bros 12 Days of Christmas deal down in Kansas. That's interesting. The gun thing is on my mind. We'll talk more about that in the new year. If you're around the Kalispell, Montana area, I mentioned the 406 Motors deal, which I think is just, when I heard about it, amazing. Get a free gun or gas card on any vehicle purchase of $10,000 or more. That's a pretty sweet deal. And I thought it was interesting also, where is that? Here. The team over at Advanced Medicine, Dr. Rashid Batar's organization, sent out an email yesterday, which is great. And they have some deals. Now, for a limited time, for example, you can purchase copies of the bestseller, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, for just $9.99. So that's pretty cool. Dr. Rashid Batar, obviously assassinated earlier this year. What's the difference between assassination and murder? Well, murder is just murder. Assassination is murder for political or religious reasons. He was the guy who said in the CNN interview that he was intentionally poisoned. I think it's interesting there's a lot of Streisand effect in this story. I don't want to talk much about it because we got to do Christmas stuff. But go to the Wikipedia entry for Rashid Batar. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, was an American conspiracy theorist. Really, that's the way that – an anti-vaxxer. Oh, yeah, and licensed osteopathic physician. I wonder why it's, you know, in that order specifically. I wonder. He was known for his controversial use of chelation therapy for numerous conditions, including autism and cancer. Oh, yeah, and vaccine injury. Who was the young lady that he healed? And that story was mainstream news for a while. I forget her name. What was her name? The big one, the big story. I was thinking about it yesterday. Couldn't remember. Yeah, I'm sure I can't find it off the top of my head real quick. The cheerleader, right? I forget her name. Anyway, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. It's interesting how this is worded. So you skip ahead. An analysis found that Batar was one of the top 12 individual and organization accounts producing up to 65% of all anti-vaccine content on Twitter and Facebook. Well, no need to worry about that now because he's no longer with us, right? That, of course, is the infamous, what do they call it? The oh, gosh. The disinformation dozen. That's it. Part of the disinformation dozen. So it's interesting, you know, the Streisand effect is that he was crazy and he said he was poisoned, but, you know, he was a very influential person. And anyway, his organization, Advanced Medicine, has a book deal. That's one of the things that you can grab. So there are still some deals to be had out there. I'm a fan of things that are made here, you know, support your local community. Before Michael Rupert died under questionable circumstances, I just committed suicide. Yeah. Well, I listened to the last interview and a few others, and he didn't sound suicidal, but then I guess people never do, do they? Anyway, he was talking about that. We have to support local markets, and that's a challenging issue we won't get into right now. We're going to do Christmas stuff again today because that's what we're doing. I said that we'd finish the Christmas story today. As told by Chuck Missler, it's different. It's not the Christmas story. It's, you know, kind of the meta Christmas story. So today, you know, what really happened in Bethlehem? Who were the Magi? Why a virgin birth? Et cetera, et cetera. And some details, you know, the Parthian Empire. What is that? The Star of Bethlehem. What is that? And so on and so on. It's a beautiful story, though, and the way that it is told here is something that you won't find probably anywhere else. So why are we doing this? Well, a couple of things real quick. You know, this is America, and I feel like Romans 1 is before the slippery slope. We're still sort of in Romans 1 before we're careening off the edge, but there's... We can look back over our shoulder, most of us, and see verse 21, Romans 1:21. So verses 19 through 21. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, which sounds like an oxymoron. How can what's invisible be clearly seen? Because it's self-evident everywhere. You know, for example, you know, Newton's laws of thermodynamics. Well, if there are laws, is there a lawgiver? Where did the laws come from? When was the last time we saw Congress didn't have to show up? Laws just make themselves. That kind of thing. His invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Chuck Missler used to like to tell, speaking of Chuck Missler, he used to like to tell the story of the single cell organism that's more complex than any machine man has ever made. That's an interesting discussion. Anyway, for though they knew God, here's the punchline, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of the in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals, crawling creatures. Anyway, backing up, that's to verse 23. But verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, we can look back, most of us, over our shoulder historically and see there was a time in America where there was a church on every corner and not so much anymore. Now we're seeing movie theaters being converted to churches, but I'm not sure I'd call them churches. So what is the point? Well, in Amos chapter 8, Amos is a book in the Bible? Yeah. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. This is interesting. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. That sounds like a terrifying day to me. I don't want any part of that. So what's going on? I think that we're seeing that day shaping up. In the day of cultural Marxist, Marcusean repressive tolerance, you can talk about anything. You just can't talk about, you know, Jesus Christ of Nazareth and John 3:16 and 17 territory, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 and 10, that kind of stuff. You're not supposed to talk about that stuff. And it's fascinating to see what is happening, I think. I've mentioned many times that I think we're seeing, you know, Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars and all that kind of stuff. But also, Jesus says, at this time, in Matthew 24, 10 and 11, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Hate is an interesting word. We hear a lot about hate, don't we? Speaking of Rashid Batar, there's that group that was started. They call it the Countering Hate Group or something like that. What was that? And then, you know, speaking of Rashid Batar, I don't want to get too far off, afield, but there was the USA Today fact check. No evidence doctor was killed by, as part of conspiracy. Speaking of the Streisand effect. Vice had a similar article. After an anti-vaccine figure dies, suddenly conspiracy theories abound, which mentioned the 2021 CNN interview. Anyway, so there was the organization that was started. What is that organization called? I guess we're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Welcome back. So the group in question was, you know, from the USA Today fact check, actually, about Dr. Rashid Batar. Batar was one of the disinformation dozen, quote unquote, a group so dubbed by the Center for Countering Digital Hate, in March 2021. Digital Hate. Center for Countering Digital Hate. That's interesting. And that's an interesting group to look into. Just from the Wikipedia entry, actually, CCDH, Center for Countering Digital Hate, is a British nonprofit organization with offices in London and Washington, D.C. It campaigns for big tech firms to stop providing services to individuals who may promote hate and misinformation, including neo-Nazis and anti-vaccine advocates. Anti-vaccine advocates. Hate-mongering groups. And campaigns to restrict media organizations such as the Daily Wire from advertising. That's interesting. Speaking of repressive tolerance. And, of course, they don't campaign against, you know, groups like ISIS or, you know, the Taliban or Al-Qaeda to be kicked off of social media platforms. Interesting how that happens. Anti-vaccine advocates. Is there a study that's ever been done? The vaccinated versus unvaccinated? Oh, that's right. Anthony Fauci said that would be unethical not to vaccinate people, even though for thousands of years of recorded history, we seem to do all right somehow. So that was the hate group that I was referring to. To try to stop providing services to individuals who may promote hate and misinformation, including neo-Nazis and anti-vaccine advocates. So does the Biden administration get kicked off social medias for supporting neo-Nazis in places like Ukraine, for example? I digress. We're not supposed to do this. We're doing the Christmas stuff today. Anyway, the point is, this word hate is interesting. So back to Matthew 24, Jesus speaking, he says, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. So hate and lawlessness. Interesting. Skipping ahead to 1 John chapter 3. I think this is a companion, and then we will dive into the Christmas story. This is a background, though. So from 1 John chapter 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. He, capital H. But then this is interesting. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Oh, that's interesting. The Bible also says in Romans 14, for example, whatever is not of faith is sin. And I think it's James chapter 4, to him who knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's interesting, speaking of sin. So everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin.
Christmas candy, hanging on.
We're headed into a break. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Christmas candy tastes so good to me. Santa comes but once a year to bring us lots of joy. Loaded down with Christmas cheer for every girl and boy.
Christmas comes but once a year, bringing joy, goodwill, and cheer. Everyone will gather round to see what Santa brought to town.
Fancy toys for one and all, as the snowflakes gently fall. There's one thing that's dear to me.
What's the truth? You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Xtendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
Welcome back. All right, so to finish 1 John 3, so we get into the Christmas story, a little background: lawlessness and sin, hate and murder. But what about love? This is a little background, because this season is supposed to embody the spirit of love, charity, grace, mercy, peace, joy, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that kind of thing. But a little background, a little context. So again, continuing from 1 John 3, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Remember, Jesus was asked, which is the greatest of the commandments? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the second is like unto it. 1A and 1B, kind of tied for first place, but the one obviously is greater, he mentioned, and then the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. He also said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Today I give you a new command, love your enemy. Wow. So continuing verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. And this is an interesting point I just wanted to mention quickly, because we see hate and just animosity. You know, a lot of people have talked about how traffic is frustrating. Anything that has become anonymized, where people can sort of hide in certain ways and then take their frustrations out on one another, increases this kind of frothiness and animosity toward one another and hostility. So we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. So John 10:10, the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Is it possible that the thief is trying to create this kind of an environment, this kind of putrefaction and decay? To finish quickly, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's good and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And I think this is the season that really sort of embodies that spirit, obviously. So that's enough of that. Let's get to the Christmas story part two. Chuck Missler, the Christmas story part two. Again, you can find it over at Koinonia House. It was published back in 2007, released on YouTube back in 2019. And so we played part one yesterday. Part two, here we go.
Well, welcome to part two of our exploration of Christmas, what really happened. And before we start, let's do something radical. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the lengths that you've gone to that we might have life and life abundant. We pray, Father, that in this hour we would get more insights as to what you've done here for us. We do pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit you would help us to apply these things to our understanding and our walk, that we might be more effective for you, as we commit ourselves without any reservation in the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, part two of the story of Christmas, what really happened, and we're going to explore the visit of the Magi. Now, few people really understand what was going on there. That led, of course, to the massacre at Bethlehem and the flight to Egypt and the return to Nazareth for his childhood years. And we're going to discover, much to many people's surprise, that those years are, in fact, recorded in the Scripture as we explore some subtleties in Psalm 69. But the whole fabric here needs an understanding of the empires. To get into the materials we want to get into, you need to have a little bit of political understanding of the geopolitical landscape of that time. The Babylonian Empire rose to power about 606 BC and was taken over by the Persians in 539. The city Babylon became an empire under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar's very bright general, Nebuchadnezzar, and he established the Babylonian Empire, which then, of course, gets absorbed by the Persian Empire. And there is a group within the Persian Empire that we need to understand called the Magi. That's a Latinized form of Magoi, an ancient Greek transliteration of the Persian original, where we rely a lot on Herodotus to get some insight who these Magi really were. We find an interesting title in Jeremiah, the Rab Mag, which is the chief of the Magi. That was in Nebuchadnezzar's court. There was a counterfeit group, if you will, imitators, if you will, in Babylon later. But the Magi were a hereditary priesthood among the Medes. And Daniel is appointed over that hereditary priesthood. Now, we'll talk more about that priesthood, but get the picture as we move in this, that the priesthood was hereditary of the Medes, but Daniel gained favor with Darius, and Darius put him in charge of this hereditary priesthood. Now, you can imagine how that went over with them, and that's probably what led to the chicanery that ended up in the lion's den incident in Daniel chapter 6. That was their way of trying to put an end to that. But as you study the Magi in Herodotus, their key skill was not astrology, it was dream interpretation and iromancy. And that was their key skill. And that's going to be very important to understand as we go forward here. And in the Medo-Persian world, Darius the Great recognized that the Magi were very, very skilled at dream interpretation. And so they were attached to the court, and they become the kingmakers. They were a combination priest and magistrate combination. That's where we get the word magistrate, from the Magi. And they were not originally followers of Zoroaster. You can check that out in Britannica and others. Many sources on Persia don't go back far enough to really appreciate that the original religion was different. And it's interesting how similar the Magi were to the Jewish forms of worship. They each had a monotheistic concept of one beneficent creator, author of all good, and opposed by all that's evil. And each had a hereditary priesthood. The Jews had their Levites, and the Persians had their Magi, if you will. And they had one mediator between God and man, and they made their things by a blood sacrifice. And each depended on divination from their priesthood. Each had the same essential concepts of clean and unclean. Each involved hereditary priesthood, and and that continues. As you go through the history of Persia, you'll discover that there's a real synergism between Persia and Israel. Many of the Persian kings were actually of Jewish blood. And so, since the days of Daniel, the fortunes of both Persia and the Jewish nation are intertwined. And they both had their turn falling under the Seleucid Empire, which is the remnants of the Greek Empire, but they both were able to get free. The Jews under the Maccabean leadership and the Persians under a dominating group that led to the Parthian Empire. We're going to talk a little bit about the rival to Rome to the east was Parthia, the Parthian Empire. It's important to understand that, to understand what was going on at the visit of the Magi. And it was at that time during the Parthian Empire that the Magi, this clique of priest administrators, were the ones that made the king. They determined who the king would be. They had all the top governmental offices. They composed the upper house in of their council, of the magistanes, as they call them, which I think is that's where the term magistrate came from. And their duties included the absolute choice of the king of the realm. And that's going to impact Herod's reaction when they arrive. And so it's this dual capacity of priest and counselor that both the civil and the political and religious council get connected in the Persian environment. So they became the supreme priestly caste of the Persian Empire. There is an inscription that has the same role that the Rosetta Stone does. The Rosetta Stone is a block that you can handle. The inscription on Behistun is a huge wall, like a billboard, that is. It was done by Darius the Great, but it also has everything there in three languages, the Elamite, Akkadian, and the Old Persian or Aramaic. And because of that, that's how we can learn about these. It's the link by which we can translate these other languages, just as the Rosetta Stone has served that purpose. And it speaks of the particular thing that has to do with a speedy and final triumph over a revolt of Magi that got out of hand back in 522 BC. But in any case, after the Persian Empire came to Greek under Alexander the Great, we have the Greek Empire. And then when Alexander dies, four of his generals divide it up. Cassander takes the far west. Lysimachus takes that area that you and I think of as Turkey. Seleucus took the east, and Ptolemy to the south. The two gorillas on the block, really, were Seleucus and Ptolemy. And what joins them is that little strip of Israel, which is really a buffer state. And it's the subsequent struggles between the dynasties of the north and the dynasties of the south that populate the bulk of the 11th chapter of Daniel. The so-called silent years. I've got a lot of books in my library that talks about the silent years between the Old and New Testament. It turns out presumably they're not in the Bible, except they are. They are written in advance in Daniel 11 from verses 5 through 35. And it is so precise that some of the critics have said it had to be written later, because it really chronicles, in effect, the struggles between Ptolemy and the Seleucus, their descent, their relative dynasties. But we're all familiar with the Roman Empire that succeeds the Greek Empire, and we often forget that it consists of two legs. The eastern leg outlasts the western leg 1,000 years. But what most of us don't recognize, is, unless we've studied it, is that while Rome was making its mark, the remnants of the Persian Empire from about 250 BC to about 224 was in its heyday, was the Parthian Empire. And this zone that we think of as the Fertile Crescent and what have you is really a buffer between the vicissitudes of both empires, between Rome and Parthia. And you need to understand that to understand what was going on at the time of the birth of Christ. It's now in what we call Iran and Afghanistan. They were Scythians, actually. They adopted Median dress and Aryan speech. They were subject successively to Assyrians, Medes, Persians, and Macedonians under Alexander the Great and finally the Seleucids. In about 250 BC, the Parthians succeeded in founding an independent kingdom. And during the first century BC, it grew into an empire extending from the Euphrates all the way to the Indus River, to the Indian Ocean, basically. And so that's the Parthian Empire. And Judea is, of course, a buffer zone. And so Parthia, in a sense of speaking, is a rival to Rome and had several successes, major successes against Rome when these two powers clashed. Pompey, the first Roman conqueror of Jerusalem in 63 BC, had attacked the Armenian outpost of Parthia. That's on that would be the western edge of this emergent empire. And in 55 BC, Crassus led the Roman legions in sacking Jerusalem and in a subsequent attack on Parthia proper. The Romans were decisively defeated in the Battle of Carrhae with a loss of 30,000 troops, including their commander. So the Romans got really clobbered by the Parthians in that engagement. And the Parthians counterattacked with a token invasion of Armenia, Syria, and Palestine. So realize that Judea then is really under the Parthian thumb for a while. nominal Roman rule was reestablished under Antipater, who was the father of Herod. So the father of Herod, the King Herod we're going to talk about, reestablished for Rome from the Parthians for a while, yet he had to retreat before a Parthian invasion in 40 B.C. Mark Antony reestablished Roman sovereignty in 37 B.C., but like Carsus before him, he embarked on a similarly ill-fated Parthian expedition. He goes against Parthia and gets clobbered again. So Parthia is not to be messed with, okay? His disastrous retreat was followed by another wave of invading Parthians, which swept all Roman opposition completely out of Palestine. Need to understand, Palestine was Parthian, not Roman. Roman would claim it, but Parthian really had it, okay? And Herod himself succeeds in getting the title King of the Jews from the head of the Roman Empire, but it's for 3 years he can't go there. It's too dangerous. So he's king of the he's king of a province that he not safe for him to show up in, okay? And so now with Parthian collaboration, the Jewish sovereignty was restored and Jerusalem was fortified with a Jewish garrison. Herod by this time had secured his from Augustus Caesar the title King of the Jews. But it was not for 3 years, and it took a 5-month siege by Roman troops that he was able to occupy his capital city. You need to understand the slippery rock he's on, okay? So Parthia is the big gorilla right in the neighborhood. And so now you see, he had gained the rule or throne of a rebellious buffer state that was stuck between two contending empires. Not a very enviable position. At any time, his own subjects might conspire in bringing the Parthians to their aid. Remember, Herod was not Jewish. He was an Idumean, an Edomite, which is an enemy of the Jews. And the Jews were very comfortable with the Parthians, so they could have easily, at any time, conspired against him. So he's a nervous Snelly here. He's justifiably paranoid, okay? Now, Augustus himself was very old by now, and Rome, since the retirement of Tiberius, was without any experienced military commander. That's got to make them a little concerned in the outlying districts, too. Now, Armenia is very pro-Parthian, and they were fomenting a revolt against Rome, which 2 years later they actually succeeded doing. At the time of the birth of Christ, Herod may have been close to his final illness, too. He dies very shortly thereafter. Now, Parthia, by the way, is very powerful, but it has its own problems internally at this time. It was ripe for another invasion to their buffer provinces, except Parthia itself was racked with internal contention. Phraates IV was very unpopular, aging king. He had been deposed once before. And it was not improbable that the Persian Magi were already positioning the politics for his successor. That's obviously something that everybody was watching. So this is a very precarious visit. So Herod finds that these magi, and this isn't three guys on camels, this is a major military force. They're accompanied with cavalry. At this time, the magi, in their dual priestly and governmental office, bear in mind they're like the senior senate of Persia, were probably positioning the choice and election of their next king, all right? And so these are the guys that are entering Jerusalem. The scripture tells us the whole city was upset. The whole city of Jerusalem wouldn't be upset with three guys on camels. No, there is a major Parthian group, entourage that's arrived. And Herod is nervous. It's conceivable. The kind of hallway gossip would be that they might have been taking advantage of the king's lack of popularity in Persia to further their own interests and establish a new dynasty in Persia, for all he knew, if a sufficiently strong contender could be found. So we get to Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. Wise men. Doesn't say kings. Wise men. From the east to Jerusalem. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? I'll show you why that's a put-down. But anyway, for we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. And Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled. He recognized there's an implied threat here somehow. The king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. All Jerusalem was tense. Get the picture here. There's the Parthian Empire, and they have sent this entourage to chase down this guy that was born king of the Jews. You're probably traveling in force. You can just imagine the Asian style of pomp and ceremony here. And obviously with adequate military, because this is a hostile buffer zone they're entering. And so he was shook up. And now, if you understand the background, you can understand why he's upset. The first question in the New Testament was where is he that's born a king of the Jews? That's the first question in the New Testament. First question in the Old Testament is, God called Adam, where art thou? Interesting. The first question in the Old Testament deals with the first Adam. The first question in the New Testament deals with the last Adam, whether they realized it or not. Continuing, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And then they quote Micah 5:2 to the king. The king's called his staff guys. Hey, check the records. Where is the king of the Jews supposed to be born? They check the records. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. The reason he's going to be born in Bethlehem is because of the book of Ruth, but I'm going to get into that here. Okay. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's the way it's quoted there. Let's take a look how it's quoted in your Bible. Micah 5:2, you've seen it on every Christmas card. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel's, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. This is the preeminent one that's going to be born as a man. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. That's so we can set the executioner's rules of engagement, huh? He sent them to Bethlehem. He said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. You don't need worship like that. He had planned. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. We'll touch on that in a minute. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
For Christmas.
Stick around, we'll be right back.
And you can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe. And presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.